This is Part B of See Your Calling.
Okay, now let's go to Matthew 22. And here's a very encouraging verse if we understand it correctly, which I think we do. For many are called, but few are chosen. And why are few chosen? Because few repent. God chooses those that repent. He calls us. His goodness, His grace leads us to repentance. We see the love that God has for us. And we continually go back to this. So I want to focus in on the calling. And what is the thing that we need to do so that we can survive in this world is to focus in on that calling. Because every single one of us are going to have circumstances around us which are against us. We are going to have circumstances which cause us to be discouraged and despaired, cause us to wonder, well, why am I going through this? I want you to focus in on this, that many are called, but few are chosen. And let's see what this has for us. Let's go to John, the 6th chapter. Now you get discouraged, you get down, you're tired of fighting the world, you're tired of being against everything that's around you because everything is so filled with sin and wretchedness and rottenness, and you want to, you know, just pick up your TV and throw a rock through it or whatever you want to do, you know, or you're sitting there watching at least a decent show on television, then comes on an X-rated ad of some kind. It's absolutely incredible. And it just destroys your thoughts and everything like that because it will happen. Okay? John 6 chapter and verse 44. Here's what to focus in on the calling. No one, that is, no man, no one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Did God call you to succeed or to fail? God called you to succeed. God called you because the one who controls the universe, the Father, he activated in your life and chose you. So therefore, there aren't any circumstances which can be against you, as we covered in other things before. You see, God has chosen you. You can't go around and say, oh boy, I'm the most important person on earth. Ha 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 ha. You know, you don't go to that extreme at all. But God has called you. You are His. Now let's focus a little bit more in on this calling. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter. And let's see what it is that God has for us. He has called us through His grace. Okay, let's come down here to 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, and verse 3. Grace unto you. Now, grace is the most important thing that you can consider and think on and realize. God's grace to you, which means that, number one, God called you. Number two, God knows what you are. God knows your weaknesses. God is not going to condemn you for those weaknesses if, when they get the better of you, you repent and return back to God and focus in on your calling. That's what's so very important. If you get discouraged and down, focus in on the calling of God. And what it will do, it will not lift you up in pride, but it will humble you in awesome, as we sang in the song, adoration of God and what He has done for us. Okay? Grace unto you and peace from God our Father, directly from God the Father to you and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf as the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now, this is important. Notice how he starts out 1 Corinthians, because after the third chapter, the rest of Corinthians is a disaster as far as the behavior of the brethren, as far as their own personal problems. But notice what he starts out here in verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed to you, so that you come behind no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. I want you to understand that. Who will confirm you? He will see you to the end, whatever the end may be. Like it was for the Corinthians here, they all lived and died before Christ returned. That's going to happen to some of us. But God is going to confirm us to the end, or whether we live and see the return of Christ. I used to think, boy, it's going to be great living to see the return of Christ. I'm not so sure of that now. I'm not so sure that I necessarily want to live physically in the flesh to go through all of the events to the return of Christ. I don't know if I can bear that. If I have to, God will give me the strength and confirm it to the end. Okay? So God isn't going to leave you alone. God is not going to reject you. God is not going to cast you aside if you keep your eye on your calling. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless. Without blame. Without fault. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Tremendous, isn't that, huh? Tremendous encouragement. And that's what we need to focus in on. Okay? Let's come clear over here to verse 26. Now, there are many other things we could read in between, but I want to focus in on our calling. And remember, Jesus came to what? Call sinners to repentance. And of course, we're all sinners continuously all the time because we are not perfect. And there's one way then we can really keep our minds focused on our calling, as we will see in a minute. Verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many mighty, not many wise men after the flesh." Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And if there's anything that you can see that is absolutely true, that is it. Now, anytime anyone gets the feeling that they really know something, Paul says, you know nothing as you ought. And anyone who gets to thinking that they are something, remember what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. Go back and read Daniel, the fourth chapter, if you don't remember that. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world. Yes, we're weak in the flesh. What did Jesus say? The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. What did Paul say? The things I really want to do, that is to please God, I don't do. And what I want to do, good, evil, is present with me. And so he's got this battle going on continuously. We're weak. Does God know that that is so? That we are weak? Does God understand that? Now, some have different weaknesses. Some have physical weaknesses. Some have character weaknesses, like Abraham. He had a character weakness in that he really fudged on the truth when he shouldn't have. And even his son Isaac did it, and it runs in the family, I guess. You know. And then look at what happened to Jacob. You go through the whole story there, and then poor Jacob, he had a miserable life. It's tough enough with one wife, but he had two wives and two concubines, and it was miserable, and 12 kids. And look at the way his kids treated him. Look what they did to Joseph. And there were 17 years of pretending that the other sons of Jacob let Jacob think that Joseph was dead. So much so that Joseph, that Jacob would go out and sit under the tree and you know, hold that bloodied coat of Joseph that they put the goat's blood on it and said, "Well, your son is dead." And then you know how God turned that all around, you see. So there are the weaknesses. Called the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things that are despised, has God chosen. Yea, and the things that are not, that are counted as nothing, has God chosen, that he may bring to naught, N-O-U-G-H-T, which means to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, whom God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now that's what God is doing for us and to us. And I think sometimes if we learn the lessons of living in this evil world, not that you're out there in it, partaking of it, and doing the things that the world does, but you're still affected by it. And if you can let those things affect you in a way to turn you to God, to see your calling, to see what God has done for you, then you can survive this world. Then you can survive the things that are going on. Then you can realize, well, there's even hope for them, and the day is coming when God is going to change all of that too, including every one of them. Okay? Now let's focus in on something else here concerning that. Let's see 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians 6. And here Paul makes quite a statement here. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 concerning what people are that God has called. Remember, he called sinners to repentance. Verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So what should this cause us to do? Even more. Respond to God in the same kind of love that he responded to us in. Let's go to Mark, the 12th chapter. Here is what we need to do. Here's the key on keeping our bearings in this world. Here's what we need to do to keep our minds on the calling that God has given us. We don't look to the circumstances around us, because the circumstances around us, and if the economy keeps going the way it is, the circumstances around us are going to become third world very quickly. They could happen very quickly. Okay? So we don't look to the circumstances around us as the primary factor in our lives. Now that's hard to do. You can't ignore what's around you. But your salvation does not depend on the circumstances around you. That's what I want you to understand. Okay? You have to ignore them enough that you can overcome the frustrations of it, and so that you don't fall into the pitfall and trap as Lot did with coming out of Sodom. Okay? Mark 12 and verse 30. And here is the very key that is important we need to do constantly. Mark 12 and verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first or primary commandment. This is the first thing to do. This is how we keep our sanity in such an evil, topsy-turvy, corrupt Sodom and Gomorrah world that is here. We love God with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all of our being, and think on our calling, and think what God has done to call us, and think what God has provided for us. Study on that. Pray on that. And do as, you know, that we need to do. Bring every thought into captivity unto obedience to Jesus Christ. And put in the good and take out the evil through the very power and spirit of Christ. Then it says the second is like unto it, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, the brethren as Christ loved us. And that's what's so important. That's what's so special with the Sabbath and our getting together with God's people. That's what the church and fellowship is all about. Not all of the other problems and difficulties that we've associated in the past of organization and control and power and who's in charge and all of these things. That doesn't mean a hill of beans. God could care less unless you love God, unless you love your neighbor, unless you love the brethren. Then all of the other is really meaningless. Okay? So that's why we need to focus in on it. But what I'm talking about here is your individual self-preservation in this world. The self-protection that you need does not come from yourself, but it comes from God. And that comes from loving God in this way. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. That's where it's at. That way, then, you don't have to run around and realize the world is condemned and all you are is doom and gloom and misery and rottenness, because the world is going to become more miserable, the world is going to become more rotten, and there isn't a thing you can do about it. Tell me, even though I commend all of those who are doing the operation rescue in trying to stop abortions, where does abortion really begin? In the clinic or in the minds of the individuals involved? In the minds of the individuals involved. And that's why I've said before, if this French abortion pill ever comes on the market, then abortion is no longer a question as to a political movement. Abortion becomes the decision of the individual woman. And it still is. And living in the world where good is called evil and evil is called good, there is nothing that you can do about it from the point of view that you're going to change the world. Now, maybe you can help one person, maybe you can help some people, but you're not going to change the world. Because why? Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So that's why if you focus in on the world, you're going to get discouraged and despondent. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter now. And let's see the tremendous blessing and gift that God has given us. Focusing in on the calling, he said, "For brethren, see your calling." Okay? What of this calling are we to see? It is going to be something which only God can provide us with. And if we turn to God with this kind of love, he will provide for us what we need. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love Him. Notice the key there. Those that love Him. How? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being. That's how. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, because God has called us. And God has given us His Spirit. And God has given us the understanding. And sometimes the world crowding in, we get so concerned with getting along in this world that we get our minds off our calling. And we don't respond to God the way that we need to, so therefore we're not loving God the way that we need to. So we need to do the things we know we need to. And we know we need to when we know we're not, don't we? Okay? But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the Spirit of God which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Because God has called you. Focus in on that calling. Whatever the thing is which is weighing you down, whatever the circumstances in the world is that is bothering you, whatever the trouble or whatever it may be, go to God. If you repent, there is no sin that God cannot forgive. Because if you don't repent, then you've committed the unpardonable sin. Because you haven't repented. Did God forgive Saul for murdering Christians? Yes. Did Jesus forgive the harlot who washed his feet with her tears in her hair? Yes. Did Jesus forgive the man with a withered arm? Yes. Did He let the woman go who was falsely condemned, taken in adultery? Yes. Did He heal the man who was blind, who did no sin? Yes. Okay, now we haven't received the spirit of this world. Verse 12. We have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And you can't earn it, you can't work for it, but God has freely given that to us. And that is fantastic. Which things we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And that's why the world is so frustrating to Christians, because you don't want to receive of the world, and yet you are in it. So what we have to do is, you know, pray the prayer that Jesus prayed. He said, I pray for them, Father, that you keep them from the evil one. I pray not that you take them out of the world. Sometimes we wish God would. But that you keep us from the evil one. That's what we need to pray. That's what we need to focus in on. Okay, the world can't receive it because it's foolishness to them. Okay, let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. And let's focus in on this love that God has for us. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. And these are basic scriptures which we've covered before, but the thing that I want to focus in on is this, is that there is nothing that can hold you back from God if you put away all of the weights and the difficulties and the problems and the crushing in of the world around you. God can relieve you of that. Verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now works in the children of disobedience and is now working with ever-increasing power, with ever-increasing intensity, with ever-increasing means to try and get to those who are true Christians, to get them to give up on their faith. among whom also we all had our conduct in the times past in the lust of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, by grace are you saved. So that's what we need to focus in on. Our love to God, God's love to us, God's calling to us, our responding to him. And that's what becomes important. Now let's go to 2 Peter, the first chapter. And while we're turning there, we'll just reiterate the last verse of 2 Peter, which says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what we're to do spiritually, constantly. And that's what is encouraging. And that's, brethren, why we have the Sabbath. That is our little island of rescue from the world every week. And I'm so thankful for the Sabbath. And you stop and think, where on earth would you be without the Sabbath? Because you see, as human beings, we don't have the intestinal fortitude nor the mental or spiritual ability to resist and fight the world if we didn't have the Sabbath, our little island of sanity, every week. We would soon get worn down like everybody else in the world. Now, 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 10. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election. And that should really be selection. God elected to select you. In other words, God chose to select you, and that's what election means. You didn't vote for God and say, "Oh, I raised my hand for God." That's kind of like when Peter said, "Oh, Lord, we're not going to let you get crucified." You know, you don't raise your hand in election for God, you see. It's your selection, sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Never fail, brethren. Never fail. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, to confirm it to the end. Never fail. And here's what we need to do. Again, focusing in on the calling of God. Let's go back to verse 2. Right here in the same chapter, 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord, of Jesus our Lord." Okay, so it's to be multiplied, to be increased. How? Spiritually. How? By love. How? By obeying God. How? By responding to Him. By letting God, with His Spirit, help us close off the world that so often is like it's crushing in on us. Verse 2. "According as His divine power has given unto us all things pertaining to godliness." Every tool you want is in the Bible. Every tool you need in power comes from God's Holy Spirit. It's tremendous, isn't it? Here we can live completely the opposite life of what's going on in the world through Jesus Christ. "Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Now, why would He say exceeding great and precious promises, which are beyond our knowledge and expectation? Remember, Peter was one of those who went on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Jesus transfigured before his very own eyes. And that's what he said a little later in the chapter, that he had burning in his mind. And which John said, "We saw, we handled the Word of Life." And these are great and precious promises, exceeding, as it says here, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, and that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. And boy, that's what all of us need to be focusing in on. Because this old human nature and this old flesh, it gets old and it wears out, and that's just the way that it is. And again, there's very little we can do about it. God says if we live to be 70, that's fine. If it's 80, that's by God's blessing. If it's any longer than that, it's by God's mercy. Okay? But we have exceeding and great and precious promises that we can be partakers of the divine nature, and that is right now through the Spirit of God that we have. So what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, stir up the Spirit which God has given you. And how do we do that? By focusing in on the calling that God has given. And then we take these steps, as we will see here. Okay, partakers of the divine nature. And of course, we know what is the ultimate of it, be resurrected and be in the kingdom of God, correct? Okay. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we can escape it. And that's why the Sabbath is an escape, right? Yes, it is. You know, there are times when on the Sabbath, I think, boy, well, what am I going to preach on? And on Thursday, I don't have a clue. On Friday, I'm still thinking on it, praying about it. Then on the Sabbath, God gives me what is necessary to bring what God wants me to bring. And that is no credit to me, because it's the Sabbath and it's God's Spirit and it is God that is doing it, you see. But because we escape the corruption of the world that is around us by our little island of the Sabbath, which we have every week, then God gives a special blessing because of that. Now it says, continuing here, besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith, here are the steps then. Add to your faith virtue, and virtue is doing the things that are right. And knowledge. And to knowledge, we add temperance, which then is self-control. And temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, agape, or love. That's how we make our calling and our election sure. Now let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. We alluded to this, but I want to read it into the record so that we have it here for sure. Verse 1, John 3. Behold, it means pay attention, look to, understand what manner of love the Father has bestowed. That means granted, given, poured out upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God, tekna. That means his very own offspring. Okay? Wherefore, the world doesn't know us, because it knows him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him, for we shall be like him. Now that is something to look on, isn't it? We don't have to worry about anything in the flesh. We don't have to worry about the world that is going on. God knows the things that are in the world, and God is going to take care of them in his due time and his due way. Okay? So this then is how we survive in the world. Focus in on the calling and the promises of God. Verse 3, and everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. What did Jesus say? Father, I will that they become one in us. You, I in you, and you in me, and me in them, that they may become one in us. Now that is tremendous. Now let's close by going to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. And this is the most encouraging place in the Bible, and I really think is one of the tremendous, wonderful things of the Bible that we need to focus in on. But let's go back to chapter 1 before we go to chapter 3, though. Chapter 1 and verse 18. And here's the whole prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying, leading up to this, that we have forgiveness of sin through His blood, that God called us because of, for His very own will and His pleasure and His goodness. Now, chapter 1 and verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And that's the hope that we have in us, that we are going to be like Him because we're going to see Him as He is, and we are the very children of God. And that's what we need to focus in on, to be inspired to block out the world and to sort of shut off the world and all the evil that is there, because God has to handle that. We have to work on what we need to do, and here's how we do it. Okay, what is the hope of your calling? What is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Now let's go to chapter 3 and verse 14. And as those of you who have heard me preach before, this is one of my favorite places in the Bible. This is the most inspiring and the most uplifting portion of the entire New Testament, in my own opinion, in my own experience. And that when I'm in trouble and when I'm in difficulties, this is where I turn to, so that I can turn to God, and it's not me doing it, but God doing it, because of what is said here. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, from His very innermost being to you, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. God's Spirit in you. That is going to block off the world around you. That is going to keep you in focus on your calling, so that you understand and make sure your calling, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that God is going to, through Christ, live in you, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being, and that's what it is there, and may be able to comprehend with all of the saints, because this is an ever-expanding thing. As I mentioned the other day, God's way and word and plan is like a sphere. It's not like a line, and it's not like a circle. It's like a sphere. It is full. It is dense. It is tremendous. There is an awful lot in it. And that's why Paul says right here that you may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of the knowledge of God's plan and His calling. And to know the love of God which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, right at this minute, if that doesn't block the world out of your mind and heart and take away all of the evil that is there and unite your heart spiritually with God, I know it does. You know it does. It does with me right now at this very minute, and I know it does with you right now at this very minute. And here's the key. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, because the eye is not seen, nor the ear heard, neither is it entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And brethren, that is how You can survive the world that is around you by focusing in on the calling of God.
Distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442.